Well, good morning. God bless you. It's great to be back here. And I'm always very careful when I use these because I remember the first time I used one in Mexico, we were in a seminar and we took a break and I went to the bathroom in the hotel, to the men's bathroom, and I forgot to turn it off. And we were quite a few men in the bathroom, so after a few minutes, the people who had stayed in the room, you know, they didn't need to go to the bathroom, so they stayed there. They really thought they were having a biblical experience. You know, like in Acts, it says that it was like the sound of a rushing mighty wind. So, yeah. So I'm always very, very careful with this, with these things. Okay, go to Jeremiah chapter 26, please. The next record we're going to read is in Jeremiah 26. And this record is out of chronological order. When you read the book of Jeremiah, you are going to realize that there are some records in Jeremiah that are in chronological order, and there are some that are not. Usually, it is easy to tell by just reading the dates that are mentioned in the book. This record that we're going to read in Jeremiah 26 happened around 19 years after Jeremiah had started prophesying, and it happened around 3 years before the siege of Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar started. The siege of Jerusalem lasted around 20 years. Therefore, the siege of Jerusalem started basically halfway through the ministry of Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 26, verse 1 says, "In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word from the Lord, saying, Thus said the Lord, Stand in the court of the Lord's house, and speak unto all the cities of Judah which come to worship in the Lord's house, all the words that I command thee to speak unto them. Diminish not a word." In this case, he's telling him, whatever I tell you, everything you are going to tell them. There are other situations with Jeremiah and Daniel when God would tell them the word and then he would just say, well, now just write the summation, write the certain things out of it that not necessarily all. In this specific case, God is telling Jeremiah not to diminish a word of what he's going to tell him. Now, in the religious celebrations they had, a lot of people came to Jerusalem to be part of them. Even though, as we have seen, they had idols and altars in every city and street, when they had their special celebrations that they had invented, a lot of people came. These were not for the Passover or the other celebrations that were mentioned in the Word of God. By this time, when we're reading in Jeremiah 26, the Passover had not been performed for many years. Neither had the other feast that God had established. What they were gathering here to perform were their own religious feasts. They were coming to the temple. They were going to do it in the temple. They were going to mention the name of Jehovah for sure. But remember, they were not worshiping the one true God anymore. They had developed their own broken cistern. They had developed their own religious system. Read verse 1 again. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came the word from the Lord, saying, Thus said the Lord, Stand in the court of the Lord's house, and speak unto all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in the Lord's house, all the words that I command thee to speak unto them, diminished not a word. If so be, they will hearken, and turn every man from his evil way, that I may repent me of the evil which I purpose to do unto them because of the evil of their doings. So in verse 2, we saw that they were coming to worship in the Lord's house, but remember, they really were not going to worship the Lord. They were coming to the Lord's house, but they were not interested in seeing the Lord. Verse 4, And thou shalt say unto them, Thus said the Lord, If you will not hearken to me, to walk in my law, which I have set before you, to hearken to the words of my servants, the prophets, whom I sent unto you, both rising up early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened. There you see that phrase, rising up early again. Verse 6, Then will I make this house like Shiloh, and will make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth. So the priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. That must have been such a momentous occasion. People are coming to worship the one true God. No, they weren't. They were coming to worship their own gods and their own idea of the one true God. And Jeremiah comes when they are coming in and tells them all these things. Repent from your evil ways. Must have been so interesting because they were going in to worship and Jeremiah is telling them, repent from your evil ways. They are going to there following their beliefs and Jeremiah is telling them, believe the law, follow the law. So they are going in and Jeremiah is telling them this and let's see what happens. Verse 8. Now it came to pass, when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak unto all the people, that the priests and the prophets and all the people took him, saying, Thou shalt surely die. Remember, we saw last night what these people thought of the word. They despised the word, they made fun of the word, they didn't care about the word anymore. They refuse to listen to the word. In this case, what Jeremiah is speaking is the word of God. And the reaction is, you know, we have to kill the messenger. We have to get rid of this guy. Thou shalt surely die. Remember, they had their great religious system and great religious harmony. And during one of their feasts, Jeremiah goes there and tries to spoil the party. Following verse says, Why hast thou prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, This house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without an inhabitant? And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. When the princes of Judah heard these things, then they came up from the king's house unto the house of the Lord and sat down in the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house. If they sat down in the entry of the new gate, means that they are going to be judging the situation, these princes, these people. They sat down in the entry of the new gate because, you know, they were going to judge the situation. Verse 11. Then spake the priest and the prophets unto the princes and to all the people, saying, This man is worthy to die, for he hath prophesied against this city, as ye have heard with your ears. Then spake Jeremiah unto all the princes and to all the people, saying, The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city, all the words that ye have heard. Therefore now, amend your ways and your doings, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will repent him of the evil that he had pronounced against you. Jeremiah is calling them back to the word as a true prophet did. He's telling them, amend your ways and your doings, and obey the voice of the Lord your God. Repent, change, he's telling them. Verse 14, as for me, behold, I am in your hand. Do with me as seemeth good, and meet unto you. What a heart of a man, right? He says, you know, as for me, behold, I am in your hand. Do with me whatever you want to do to me. In another situation, in another land, as we're going to see later today, they were three men, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, that when they were faced with death, they say, you know, our God is going to deliver us. And if he doesn't, you know, we're still going to stay put in the word of God. It's very similar to what Jeremiah is saying here. He's saying, you know, for me, behold, I am in your hand. Do with me as seemeth good and meet unto you. Verse 15. But know ye for certain that if ye put me to death, ye shall surely bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and upon the inhabitants thereof. For of a truth, the Lord hath sent me unto you to speak all these words in your ears. So he's telling them, do whatever you want to do, but let me tell you, if you kill me, that's innocent blood, because what I'm doing, God told me to do. Verse 16. Then said the princes and all the people unto the priests and to the prophets, this man is not worthy to die, for he hath spoken to us in the name of the Lord our God. Then rose up certain of the elders of the land, and spake to all the assembly of the people, saying, Micah the Morasite prophesied in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and spake to all the people of Judah, saying, thus said the Lord of hosts, Zion shall be plowed like a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountains of the house as the high places of a forest. Did Hezekiah, king of Judah, and all Judah put him at all to death? Did he not fear the Lord and besought the Lord, and the Lord repented him of the evil which he had pronounced against them? Thus might be procured great evil against our souls. Some of the people there thought, well, what if he is really speaking for God? What if he really is saying what God told him to say? We better be careful. It reminds us of the situation in the book of Acts when they got Peter and others, and Gamaliel, the teacher of Paul, told them, wait a minute, maybe he's really speaking for the one true God. So in these situations, we see the princes and the elders and the priests and the prophets, and some of the princes and some of the elders are saying, you know, we better take a step back, and maybe he's speaking for the one true God. Then it comes a very interesting parenthesis in the record of Jeremiah. Verse 20 says, and there was also a man that prophesied in the name of the Lord, Urijah the son of Shemaiah of Kiriath-Jearim, who prophesied against this city and against this land according to all the words of Jeremiah. And when Jehoiakim the king, with all his mighty men and all the princes, heard his words, the king sought to put him to death. But when Urijah heard it, he was afraid and fled and went into Egypt. And Jehoiakim the king sent men into Egypt, namely Elnathan the son of Akbor, and certain men with him into Egypt. And they fetched forth Urijah out of Egypt and brought him unto Jehoiakim the king, who slew him with the sword and cast his dead body into the graves of the common people. Now, in these parentheses, we see the story of another prophet, Urijah, the son of Shemaiah of Kiriath Jearim, who prophesied something very similar to what Jeremiah prophesied and was killed because of it by this same king Jehoiakim. This parenthesis gives us a very clear idea that this situation was really dangerous, really difficult. It was a very big challenge, and yet Jeremiah spoke. Go back to verse 1 of this chapter, please. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Hosiah, king of Judah, came this word from the Lord saying, the time here is the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim. Remembering this, go to the book of Daniel. We're going to be back in Jeremiah, but go to Daniel 1, please. So, just to freshen up, in Jeremiah 26:1, it says, in the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Hosiah, king of Judah, came this word from the Lord. Remember, this first year of the king Jehoiakim was 19 years after Jeremiah had started prophesying, and it was around 3 years before the siege of Nebuchadnezzar had started. Then in Daniel 1, verse 1 says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. So we saw that what Jeremiah spoke in chapter 26, when people were so happy, they felt so peaceful, they were doing so great, they were coming to the temple to worship and have their own feast. And Jeremiah stood them and said, these ways are evil. What you're going to go into the temple to do is not the word of God. Don't do that. Repent. Change your ways. And they didn't. They even wanted to kill Jeremiah. Some people interceded for him and they didn't kill him. But just a little later, in the third year of this king, then Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, went to Jerusalem and besieged it. Verse 2. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of the Lord. You see, they had gone into the temple just a few years before. They were worshiping, they were having a great time. Just around 2 years later, 3 years later, some foreign king is coming in and he's taking part of the vessels of the house, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Asphenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was not blemish, but well-favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat, and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now, among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So we see that these people are taken and they are going to be trained for 3 years. Meanwhile, in Jerusalem, things are getting worse and worse and worse. Verse 7. Unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Misael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. I wanted to mention this right now as a parenthesis, so we remember and we have in mind these dates. So we saw that in the first year of Jehoiakim, Jeremiah came and gave that fantastic reproof in the temple, the words of a prophet in the temple. People didn't care to listen about it. In the third year of that king, Nebuchadnezzar finally came. It was the first entering into Jerusalem of a siege that lasted 20 years. And in that siege, he took things from the temple, vessels, precious things, and he also took people. Go back to Jeremiah chapter 25, please. I'm sorry if some of these names I'm not reading, you know, the way they should be pronounced, but I mean, if you ask Andrew, Hawaiian names are even worse than this. So, okay. So in Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 1, the word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah, now look at this, in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. So now we're in the fourth year. Remember, in chapter 26, we were talking about the first year of this king. Now in chapter 25, one chapter previous to 26, we're talking about the fourth year of this king. So as you can see, not everything is in chronological order. When you take the time later to read Jeremiah, just look at the dates and you'll see, okay, this was in chapter 26, but it actually happened before what is written in chapter 25. Don't read it just thinking that it's a continuous story, because it's going to be a little tricky. I mean, it's going to be, no, not right. Remember, it was the third year of Jehoiakim when Nebuchadnezzar came and started the siege of Jerusalem. In the fourth year of Jehoiakim, he finally started entering into Jerusalem. But it actually took 20 years for the siege to finally be over and for Jerusalem to fall completely. During those years, people from Nebuchadnezzar would come and take prisoners and take other things. But then the Babylonian army would have to take care of some other situations in other parts of the world, and Jerusalem would be able to breathe a little bit and get a little stronger. But it took actually 20 years for the whole process of conquering to be completed. During those 20 years of siege, the Bible shows us that there were four different deportations. In the first one of these deportations, as we saw already, they took Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, among many other people. In other deportations through those 20 years, they took more people. The Bible shows us that in one of those deportations, they took 10,000 people. In one of those deportations, they took Mordecai, who was Esther's uncle. In one of them, they took Ezekiel, the prophet, who then prophesied from the land of the Chaldeans. So here we read in verse 1 of chapter 25, the word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. That was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, the which Jeremiah the prophet spake unto all the people of Judah and to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, from the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, even unto this day, That is the 23rd year, 23 years. The word of the Lord hath come unto me, and I have spoken unto you. And then it says again, rising early and speaking. But ye have not hearkened. Jeremiah has been speaking for 23 years at this point, and they have not heard him yet. Jeremiah could have very easily thought that speaking the word of God a week was enough. Maybe he could have thought that speaking the word for a month was effort enough. You know, maybe give them 6 months. Maybe give them a year. But he's been speaking the word for 23 years, and people are not listening yet. Verse 4. And the Lord had sent unto you all his servants, the prophets, again, rising early and sending them. But ye have not hearkened, not incline your ear to hear. They said, turn ye again now, every one from his evil way and from the evil of your doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord hath given unto you and to your fathers forever and ever, and go not after other gods to serve them and to worship them, and provoke me not to anger with the works of your hands, and I will do you no hurt. Yet ye have not hearkened unto me, said the Lord, that ye might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own hurt. Therefore, thus said the Lord of hosts, because ye have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, said the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land, and against the inhabitants thereof, and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them, and make them an astonishment, and an hissing, and perpetual desolation. You know, that word hissing is fantastic. You know what happened to them? Do you see what happened to them? Wow. Verse 10. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones and the light of the candle. They had already been under siege for a year, and Jeremiah tells them again, you still have a chance. You still can go back to God. If you don't, what you see now won't be anything to compare to what is coming. Things are going to get really bad. They are going to get so bad that the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones and the light of the candle are going to be taken away from them. Verse 11. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. God even tells them that they are going to be 70 years under the king of Babylon if they don't change their minds. Now, when a kingdom would be conquered by another kingdom, the kingdom that took over, first of all, didn't want to destroy everything. They wanted to keep the city as it was. They could put people to govern the city. They could take the nice things of the city and take them back to their land, like the vessels of the temple. They could take certain people. They could leave other people. But the idea was always not to destroy the place. But as we're going to see, things kept getting worse and worse during these 20 years of siege, that at the end, Jerusalem was utterly destroyed. The people were utterly miserable. Go to Jeremiah 24 now. We're going backwards in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 24:1. The Lord showed me, and behold, two baskets of figs were set before the temple of the Lord. After that, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and the princes of Judah, with the carpenters and smiths from Jerusalem, and had brought them to Babylon. Remember, in this first deportation, not only the son of the king was taken, as it says here, and also the princes of Judah with the carpenters and smiths, but also in this first deportation, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had been taken. Now, by this time, Nebuchadnezzar has been king over that land for a year. He has already come to conquer Jerusalem. The siege has been going on for a year, and the first deportation has already happened. And then we read in Jeremiah 36, go to Jeremiah 36, please. Jeremiah 36, 1, and look at the dates there. And it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, so, remember, we're in the fourth year of Jehoiakim. That means that the siege has been going on for a year. Nebuchadnezzar is a king of that land already. He has deported certain people, including Daniel and his friends. He has taken things from the temple. And in that context, verse 2 says, take thee a roll of a book and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah and against all the nations from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Hosea even unto this day. It might be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Look at the heart of God. You know, Jeremiah has been speaking for so long and people don't listen. But also, God has been giving revelation for so long with such a heart and love and desire to see his people doing fine. After everything that has happened and people haven't heard, God still tells Jeremiah, take a scroll, take a book, and write down everything that I've told you. Maybe they will listen. Now, there's been many years that people haven't listened. Either God is really naive or he is really loving. Either God is really naive or he is really merciful. Either God is really naive or he really has a passionate love for his people and wants to see them doing well. Verse 4. Then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord, which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up. I cannot go into the house of the Lord. You see, because all the things that Jeremiah had spoken in the temple, there was a ban on Jeremiah coming to the temple. You know, he couldn't get close to the temple. If he got close to the temple, maybe a beep was going to start sounding and they would know Jeremiah is coming close. Don't let him get any close. The situation had developed so badly that Jeremiah wasn't allowed to get close to the temple. Like a criminal, like a, you know, maybe they consider him an idol predator or something. So he cannot go near to the temple. So because he couldn't go to the temple, it says that Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up, I cannot go into the house of the Lord. Therefore, go thou. And probably Baruch said, thank you. Thank you, Jeremiah, you know, that's nice of you. Yeah, who needs enemies when we have friends like you? But we're going to see how God took care of Baruch. That's amazing. It says, therefore, go thou. You go, Baruch. I can't. You go. And read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day. And also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. So God gave revelation to Jeremiah. Jeremiah dictated that revelation to Baruch. And then he tells, you know, Baruch, I cannot get close to the temple. So you go and wait for the fasting day, and you go and you read this. You know, they were going to have a fasting day. Remember, it was their own feast, not the feast of the Lord. They had a fasting day because religious people always like to fast and do sacrifices like that, right? But in other parts of the world, God has told them, you know, I don't care about your fasting. I really don't care about it. Let's keep reading. 7. It may be they will present their supplication before the Lord and will return everyone from his evil way. For great is the anger and the fury that the Lord had pronounced against these people. And Baruch, the son of Neriah, did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. You see, God gave this revelation to Jeremiah. Jeremiah gave it to Baruch. He dictated it to Baruch. Baruch wrote it down. And for Baruch, certainly, it was not going to be an easy task to read those words. So, in Jeremiah 45, go to Jeremiah 45, there is another record out of chronological order that contains another revelation that God gave to Jeremiah. And this revelation he gave to Jeremiah when he was dictating to Baruch what to write. So to put it in the context, God tells Jeremiah, okay, take a scroll and give it to Baruch, a nice pen, and I'll tell you the things, and you tell Baruch, and Baruch will write them. So Jeremiah is telling Baruch what to write. Baruch is writing, but he's also thinking. We don't know really what he's thinking, but we're going to know a little bit about what he's thinking. And as he is writing the revelation, God makes a parenthesis in the revelation he's giving to Jeremiah to tell him a very specific revelation about Baruch. Let's read it. Jeremiah 36 is far away from Jeremiah 45, but it happened at the same time. Remember, not everything is in chronological order. Actually, as God was giving to Jeremiah the revelation that Jeremiah was dictating to Baruch, in the midst of it, God told Jeremiah the following. 45 verse 1. The word that Jeremiah the prophet spake unto Baruch, the son of Neriah, when he had written these words in a book at the mouth of Jeremiah, in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Hosiah, king of Judah, saying. So in this first verse, we see that it was exactly the same time. When God is telling Jeremiah to tell Baruch to write down, he also gives him this revelation. Look at this. What care of God, what personal care of God, what passionate love for his people. Thus said the Lord, the God of Israel, unto thee, O Baruch. So this is fantastic. God is telling Jeremiah to write to Israel. Baruch is writing it down. You know, he's thinking certain things, Baruch. And then God tells Jeremiah, you know, Jeremiah, tell Baruch this. And during that time, he tells Baruch this. Verse 3. Thou didst say, woe is me now, for the Lord hath added grief to my sorrow. I fainted in my sighting, and I find no rest. Thus shalt thou say unto him, the Lord said thus, is to Baruch. Behold, that which I have built will I break down, and that which I have planted I will pluck up, even this whole land. And seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not. For behold, I will bring evil upon all flesh, said the Lord. But thy life, Baruch, thy life will I give unto thee for a prey in all places whither thou goest. How wonderful this is. God is giving revelation to Jeremiah. Jeremiah is dictating it to Baruch. And then God tells Jeremiah, by the way, Jeremiah, tell Baruch this. And Jeremiah tells Baruch, oh, Baruch, you know, let's take a break. Let's stretch a little bit and have a cup of tea. You just put your pen down and leave the scroll alone for a little bit. And you know, let me tell you, Baruch, I know life has not turned out to be what you were expecting. No? Things are tough. Life is not easy. But you know, let me tell you, even if things get worse, and as you know, they are going to get worse, you are going to stay alive. In all the places where you go, you will have your life. What a promise of God. You know, forget about the houses and the cars and the newest gadgets, Baruch. You won't be able to get those. But you are going to stay alive. And that happened exactly at that same time. God is dictating to Jeremiah. God is telling Jeremiah, Jeremiah is dictating to Baruch. Baruch is writing down. And you know, he's obeying. He's keeping his silence. But we know that in his mind, certain things are happening, right? I mean, he's not happy with all that situation. You know, he had so many plans for his own life. He knew what he wanted to do. He knew where he wanted to live. He knew who his friends were going to be. He knew that he was going to have the best of lives, you know. He was going to accomplish the Judean dream, you know. He was going to do fantastic. And then he sees that things are not going to be that way. Nebuchadnezzar is there already. He had already taken some people and some things. Things are getting really bad. What God is dictating to Jeremiah to tell to Baruch, Baruch is writing down, and it's not nice at all. The land is going to be utterly destroyed. Everything is going to be that bad. And Baruch is thinking so many things. You know, in the multitude of his thoughts, there's so many things. And then God tells Jeremiah, you know, Jerry, tell Baruch this, okay? And Jeremiah tells Baruch, you know, Baruch, I know things are not working out the way you wanted to. You know, that house, it won't happen. That car, it won't happen. That new computer, it's really not going to happen either. But you know, a lot of people are going to die and suffer, and you are going to stay alive. And what can be more precious than life, right? Go back to Jeremiah 36. So God gave the revelation to write to Jeremiah. Jeremiah gave it to Baruch. And then apparently God told them what was the right time and the right place to read it. And when Baruch finally read it to all the people there, I am sure that it was nice for him to know that his life was going to be taken care of. Verse 8. And Baruch, the son of Neriah, did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. And it came to pass in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Hosiah, king of Judah, in the ninth month, that they proclaimed a fast before the Lord to all the people in Jerusalem and to all the people that came from the cities of Judah unto Jerusalem. So remember, God told Jeremiah. Jeremiah told it to Baruch. Baruch wrote it. And then God said, okay, now you have the revelation. Wait for the right moment and in the right place. And that right moment and the right place came in the ninth month of the fifth year. The revelation had been given in the fourth year. You know, it was God's timing. Jeremiah could have said, you know, I already have it, so let's read it now. I mean, let's publish it now. Let's do it now. Why wait? But God said, no, let's wait. In the right time, you read it, Baruch. Verse 10. Then read Baruch in the book the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord, in the chamber of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, the scribe, in the higher court, at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house, in the ears of all the people. When Micaiah, the son of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, had heard out of the book all the words of the Lord, then he went down into the king's house, into the scribe's chamber, and lo, all the princes sat there, even Elishama the scribe, and Eliah the son of Shemaiah, and Elnathan the son of Akbor, and Gemariah the son of Shaphan, and Sedekiah the son of Hananiah, and all the princes. Then Micaiah declared unto them all the words that he had heard when Baruch read the book in the ears of the people. Therefore, all the princes sent Jehudi, the son of Netaniah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Cushi, unto Baruch, saying, take in thy hand the roll wherein thou hast read in the ears of the people, and come. So Baruch, the son of Neriah, took the roll in his hand, and came unto them. And they said unto him, sit down now, and read it in our ears. So Baruch read it in their ears. Now it came to pass, when they had heard all the words, they were afraid both one and another, and said unto Baruch, we will surely tell the king of all these words. And they asked Baruch, saying, tell us now, how didst thou write all these words at his mouth? Then Baruch answered them, he pronounced all these words unto me with his mouth, and I wrote them with ink in the book. I decided to use ink because you can write better if you use ink than if you don't. Verse 19. Then said the princes unto Baruch, go, hide thee, thou and Jeremiah, and let no man know where ye be. And they went into the king into the court, but they laid up the roll in the chamber of Elishama the scribe, and told all the words of the in the ears of the king. So the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll, and he took it out of Elishama the scribe's chamber, and Jehudi read it in the ears of the king, and in the ears of the princes which stood beside the king. Remember that this revelation contained all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah and against all the nations from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Hosea even unto this day. And that was basically 23 years of revelation. Verse 22. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. Remember that things are bad and they are getting worse in Jerusalem and Judah. But of course, the king still has his winter house with a nice cozy fire. Verse 23, and it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he caught it with the penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth, until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. Nevertheless, Elnathan and Eliah and Gemariah had made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll, but he would not hear them. But the king commanded Jerahmeel, the son of Amalek, and Seraiah, the son of Azriel, and Shelemiah, the son of Abdil, to take Baruch, the scribe, and Jeremiah the prophet, but the Lord hid them. Remember that the king had a long arm when it came to catching and killing prophets. But in this case, the Lord hid Baruch and Jeremiah, and I assure you, if God hid them, nobody was going to find them. Verse 27. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, after that the king had burned the roll, and the words which Baruch wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, take thee again another roll, and write in it all the former words that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim the king of Judah had burned. And thou shalt say to Jehoiakim the king of Judah, thus said the Lord, thou hast burned this roll, saying, why hast thou written therein, saying, the king of Babylon shall certainly come and destroy this land, and shall cause to cease from thence man and beast? Therefore, thus said the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to sit upon the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out in the day to the heat, and in the night to the frost. So, eventually, it will be no more summer house and no more winter house for the king, right? Verse 31, and I will punish him and his seed and his servants for their iniquity. And I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and upon the men of Judah all the evil that I have pronounced against them, but they hearkened not. Then took Jeremiah another roll and gave it to Baruch the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burnt in the fire, and there were added besides unto them many like words. And as we shall see in the next session, no son of Jehoiakim sat on the throne, but Nebuchadnezzar put another king, Zedekiah, who, by the way, really didn't turn out to be any better than the previous king. And eventually, in Zedekiah's kingdom, things kept getting worse and worse until Jerusalem was completely taken and devastated. So we're going to take a 15-minute break? Okay. Good. So let's take a break then.